We're going to be reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. And I wanted to share because in the last few months we've been praying, Lord, where do you want us to go? The direction for this year? What do you have for us? Where are you taking us? Because one of the things that Shanna has mentioned that when she was praying to the Lord, when the Lord had mentioned about us being pastors, we were like, we don't really want to. But then she was like, Lord, if you're not with us, we don't want to do this. And so the Lord pretty much just confirmed a lot of things. And we didn't have to politicize or do anything political to get our names in the hat to be the pastors. I believe it was God ordained. And so God called us to be preachers, to be teachers of the word. And so this is until God takes us away. God moves us wherever. We're here till you're stuck with us till God says so. But God directed us to cast this vision for 2020. And I've just been praying, Lord, help me to be able to cast this vision. I don't think I do too well about it, but, the Lord confirmed it with this video that we're going to share here in a little bit. The point or, The point that I want to, that I feel like the Lord wants us to make is that in order for this vision to be accomplished, we have to do it in unity. We have to do it together as a church. Nowhere will you find in scripture where a person goes off by themselves and does their own thing. You might have met somebody who said that they're a Christian and they say, yeah, me and God were like this. okay, you're like this in a relationship, but Jesus never wants you to be alone. That's why there's brothers and sisters that we are to encourage. That's why it says to pray for one another. That's why it says to, you know, to be there for one another. And so, to share certain things with one another and to encourage one another, to edify one another. And so Ephesians chapter 4, I know I told you to go to 2 Chronicles 30, but Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this is kind of like an underline or maybe the inside of the vision that the Lord wants me to cast today. And it relates with us reading through the Bible in a year. Now, for those of you that are already having heart palpitations or whatever, don't worry about it. Don't stress. But it's something that the Lord is going to lead us because as I write in my journals, at the top page of each page, the Lord gives me a word for the year. And I write that word at the top of every entry when I'm speaking to the Lord. And for this year, it's discipleship. At first it was like discipler, and then it was disciple, and then it just changed to discipleship. And this video kind of helped confirm what the Lord was speaking to us and what we're bringing, to the church. So we're going to be reading through thank you so much. I appreciate it. We're going to be reading through the Bible through the year. And we have a website that we'll be able to give, but we also have, some handouts that we're going to give one per family. And it gives you the schedule of what to read, chapter or two in the Old Testament, a Psalm or a proverb, and then a verse in the New Testament. Now, before you start freaking out or whatever, we can sit in a 30-minute, in front of the TV watching the news, right? Or a sitcom, right? And so the whole point is to spend 10 minutes a day, maybe 5 days or 6 days a week, and spend the minimum of 10 minutes in reading the word. And you're going to be amazed at what they found of how it impacts our life. And so while we're reading the Bible through the year, I am praying and I am asking the church that this will create discipleship through the year. Because while you're reading the word and God speaks to you, you find a nugget of truth. You find something like, oh, that's the best thing next to sliced bread. And you're going to share it with someone. You're going to share it with a brother or sister before church or after church, or maybe during the week. Those of you that get together in a Bible study, or maybe Bible studies will be created and added on because of reading through the Bible through the year. And we'll be doing so in unity. And becoming prosperous in all that he plans to do in us and through us. So real quickly, because I don't have much time, my first point is that the word prophets, we're going to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. It says, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel. Yes, please stand for the reading of the word. Thank you. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month, for they could not keep it at the regular time, because a sufficient number of priests had not consecrated themselves, nor had the people gathered together in Jerusalem. And the matter pleased the king and all the assembly. So they resolved to make a proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba to Dan that they should come to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, since they had not done it for a long time in the prescribed manner. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that your Holy Spirit gives us revelation of your word, that we would be changed this day in Jesus' name. Amen. So they had not done it for a long time in the prescribed manner. Why? How come? Why hadn't they been doing it? Well, if you read, have ever read the books of 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, you'll find that there are a lot of kings who were placed in position to be kings, yet they did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. Matter of fact, they did opposite. And we don't have time, but if you want to read 2 Chronicles 29, the first few verses, we find out that the temple of God was just, it was defiled. It was dirty. It wasn't being used for what it was supposed to be used for. Now, a lot of times we end up thinking, Lord, what are you doing in my life? Maybe in the last few days you were thinking, maybe somebody posed a question to you. What did you accomplish in 2019? Are you happy of what it was accomplished in 2019? I'm not sure about you, but I want to do better in 2020 than what I did in 2019. Matter of fact, every believer ought to say, yes, I want to do more for God in 2020 than what I did for him in 2019. And so we find here that King Hezekiah, listen, I was reading, I was like, Lord, I know I'm not supposed to be like anybody else. I want to be like Jesus. That's who I need to be. But God, I would love to be a leader like Hezekiah. I would love to be a leader. We just sang earlier this morning, and what brought to my mind was Jehoshaphat. That in the, it would be awesome for every believer to train themselves, and that whatever obstacle, you know, really great or not so great, or really terrible or not so terrible, but whatever obstacle, you will learn to praise through the storm. You will learn to praise through a situation. You will learn to worship, because you know that God who is inside of you, his spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you. That means you can get through that storm. And that's what, you know, we find that Jehoshaphat did. I mean, the fact that they praised the Lord and that they put the praise and worshipers in front, you know, they didn't have any shields. They didn't have any sword. They were praising and worshiping the Lord, and the Lord allowed them to prosper. So the word profits us. And here we find Hezekiah, that there is a problem. He understands and knows that there is a need for the Passover, but these priests, they're not ready. Matter of fact, they had not done the Passover meal for a long time. Let's drop down to verse 26 of that same chapter. It says, so there was great joy in Jerusalem. Why was there great joy? Because King Hezekiah decided, we're going to start doing some things. We're going to start changing some certain things. And the things that haven't been doing, we're going to start doing. And hey, you Levites and priests, you guys need to get it together. Consecrate yourselves so we can have this Passover, so that you can do what you need to do in the temple. And so there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had not been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy delight, or to his holy dwelling place in heaven. You see, there are times in life when we are encouraged or terribly reminded. Slide one, please, Joe. Tighten up. Tighten up. Maybe you've heard that at work. Maybe you've heard that at home. Hey, Christmas and New Year's is over. It's time to tighten up. Let's clean this house. Sweep, mop the floor. Let's clean this house. Let's tidy up here. And so we need to tighten up. Now, I'm not sure if that would be an encouraging thing for you this year, tighten up spiritually, or it would be a terrible reminder. You need to tighten up spiritually. It's supposed to be an encouragement for us to repent if we need to repent, and to get back to doing what we're supposed to be doing as followers of Jesus Christ. You see, it's amazing, as even as the video was declaring, it's amazing what God's word does. What God's word can do in your life when you read it, when it is read, and when it is applied. We find that if we read scripture and we just become hearers, what happens? We deceive ourselves, scripture says. You rip yourself off by just reading it, but not doing it. You see, when you apply God's word, you find out it is true. You find out that God's word is right. God's right. You find out of the effects that it does in your life and how it changes you. But when you don't apply it and you just sit there, yeah, that's a great message, Pastor. But you don't do what God is instructing you or what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. All you do is hear, you deceive yourself. So this is an encouragement for all of us in unity to repent if where needed and to get back and tighten up if need be to do what we're supposed to do as followers of Christ. You see, when we read God's word, and here are some examples, when we read God's word and apply it, it does something in our lives. Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Our faith increases when we hear the word. Our faith gets strong as we apply it because we receive understanding. We know that as we put God's word to the test and we apply it, we see how God provided. How many of you remember how God has provided this past year? And how God provided without you even thinking about it, without you even doing anything, God provided. And what an amazing thing it was. Another verse, Psalm 119:11. For your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The reason why we hide, we treasure. We ponder, we think about, we chew on or meditate on God's word, and we hide it in our heart. And the cool thing about that is that if you hide it in his heart, in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's important that we hide God's word in our heart, keep it treasured in our heart, because sooner or later it's going to come out, and it should come out of our actions as well. Psalm 119:103-105. It says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Let me just stop there. Reading through the Bible ought to be intriguing, not scary. Because what you're challenging to do is to read God's word, God's love letter to you, God's instructions to you. Now, some of you probably got it down packed. You don't need to look at a recipe to make something, bake something or make something, you know, add a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But what if something that you do not know how to make, how to bake, you need that recipe, don't you? If you want it to come out right. And so that recipe, you, I'm not sure how many of you keep a book of recipes from grandma or whoever, grandpa, whatever, but you keep those recipes, you treasure them. Why? Well, because you can't make rice like mom. You can't make a cake like mom. So you need mom's recipe. We need God's word, his instructions of how he wants us to do things. Why? So that it can come out, we can come out right at the end. So how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, the important part of God's word is that it is effective when we read it and apply it, because that is discipleship. Try to disciple someone to follow the Lord without using the Lord as a reference, as an example. You're not making a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're making a disciple of yourself. It is when we use Jesus and use God's word that we disciple someone, and it's because of his word that we end up making disciples. I mean, do you think that the disciples that Peter and Paul had, that it was because of Peter and Paul? No, it was because of Jesus inside of Peter and Paul. And so it's important that we understand that when we read the word and apply it, that's discipleship. Discipleship, the process, my second point, the process is the fact that we change. That's why when we come to church, you hear something, the Spirit speaks to you. You ought not to leave the same way that you came. Discipleship happens as we change. So my second point is discipleship in the process. 2 Chronicles 31:1-4. It's the next chapter. It says, now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images. See, they're doing something. And threw down the high places and the altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. We got to utterly destroy some things. If the Spirit is speaking to you, utterly destroy them. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession. And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites according to their divisions. And so he's doing something. He's appointing each man according to his service, and the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings. And in verse 3, the king also appointed a portion of his possessions for the burnt offerings. I like that we find this, because the king wasn't just doing, telling everybody else. He also himself, it's going to cost me something. Here it reminded me of when David said, man, it sure would be good to have some water from that well. And bing, three of his soldiers, mightiest soldiers, went all the way across, I think it was Bethlehem, to go get some water of the well and then bring it back. Why? Because their king was thirsty. And then David, he just poured it out. I'm not going to pour this water, but he poured it out. Why? It didn't cost him a thing. And he wanted to honor them as those men honored him. He wanted to honor them and say, I'm not going to drink that water. It cost your life. It's not going to cost me anything. And so when we look at how Hezekiah says the king also appointed a portion of his possessions for the burnt offerings, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, for the burnt offerings, for the Sabbath and the new moons. I mean, he is also involved in this changing, and he is being a part of this change. See, the encouraging part of discipleship is that a life is being changed, one's actions, one's lifestyle. We discover that what is not being done needs to be done. And lives are improved. Lives are renewed. There is revival going on. How many of you want revival in your life? Reading the Word, you'll find revival. There is teaching involved. There's training. And it is evident through the lives of Christians who are being strengthened through God's word and through discipleship. Slide 2, please. I mean, we find discipleship in Matthew 28. We know that it's the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, 19. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things. What do you mean teaching? There's discipleship there too. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What has the Lord commanded you? This morning, the Lord spoke through Brother Bill about love. And I mean, I just had to repent. Lord, the way that you want me to love, there are areas and there are people that I don't love the way you want me to. And I just, Lord, forgive me. Help me to love the way you want me to love. Help me to treat people the way you want me to treat people. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We find in 1 and 2 Timothy that it's a great relationship between a discipler and a disciplee, if that's correct. We discover the humble and great relationship of this discipleship that's going on. Two brothers in Christ who need Jesus Christ and who trust in the same Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy. They each impacted one another. If you read it, if you need to read it again. 1 and 2 Timothy, they each impacted one another. They needed encouragement and prayer from each other. They affected each other. Their relationship impacted their individual ministry. Think about that. Their relationship impacted their individual ministry. It encouraged them and exhorted them. So what can be said of your ministry as a Christ follower? You as a follower of Jesus Christ, who is your life impacting and whose life is impacting you? You see, whose life will you be benefiting or encouraging this year, 2020? Vice versa, whose life will be encouraging and pouring into you? You see, it's a prideful thing when we sit there and think, well, I don't really have anybody, so the Lord. No. You ought to look for somebody. So men, you ought to find a Timothy. Ladies, you ought to find a Timothea to actually pour into, but also allow them to pour into you. I do not believe that Paul said, Timothy, you got none to teach me. Hey, young buck, you're still wet behind the ears. You got none. I believe that the relationship that they had impacted Paul, that it changed Paul. That it encouraged Paul. It did something to him. It wasn't just a one-way street. And really, discipleship has got to be a two-way street, because it's very hard to disciple someone who doesn't want to receive what encouraging or what instructions you give them, because they have this mindset. You got nothing to teach me. If I got nothing to teach you, then I don't know who you're discipling, because you're not discipling like Christ. You're probably just discipling somebody of yourself. That's why we need the word. That's why through God's word, we're able to disciple people, disciple to be followers of Jesus Christ. What did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. That's important for all of us. My last point is that God's plan directs our purpose. And that's our last slide, please. And that's our vision for 2020. It's God's plan, our purpose. And I thought this would be a cool picture here. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's the Lord that wants to direct our steps. It's the Lord that has a plan better than your plan. Better than all of our plans. His plan is better. His ways are higher. So therefore, you know what? It ought to be our purpose to accomplish his plan, to walk his plan, and to do his plan. Now, I mentioned before about the prosperity gospel and the gospel that prospers. And the reason why I say that is that I know that you might have come across some preacher or some person preaching the gospel and using the gospel for reasons that God doesn't intend. But I know that the gospel prospers. Maybe not like some people preach it. But you know what? Just being a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm prosperous. Why? I'm a child of God. I am a kingdom citizen. I haven't even stepped foot in heaven yet, but I know that I'm a kingdom citizen because of Jesus, who died for me and is my Savior. Just the fact that I am a Christian, born again believer in Jesus Christ, filled with His Holy Spirit, I am prosperous. Why? Because of Him. For whatever the Father has is mine. Now, I only get it at his time and if I need it and if he wants to give it to me. But he brings the things that, Matthew 6:33, he brings the things that I need of necessity into my life at the right time. He's never late, although sometimes I think he might be late. He might slap me upside the head and say, I'm never late. I want us to read 2 Chronicles 31, verse 20, because it talks about Hezekiah, and this is what I pray that you will hopefully take home with yourself as well. But of all the things that the Lord is wanting me to say today, it says, Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. If you're writing notes, underline or highlight or underline, he did. He did something. You ought to do something. Do what? What was good. Not your good, God's good. Do what is right. Not what you think is right, but what God says is right. Who God is. And true before the Lord, his God. Underline his God. And in every work, underline every work that he began, underline in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God. He did it with all his heart. Underline so he prospered. This is exactly what God's word says about those who believe and apply and walk according to his word. We prosper. This year, I don't want to just focus on the fact of, see, because prosperity, when you think of dollar signs, heaven's streets are laid with gold. So really the dollar signs don't matter. But when you think about prospering because of God's word, because of his spirit dwelling in us, because of the fruits of the spirit, because we are accomplishing his plan and his desire for us. Therefore, we prosper. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, not some or just your favorites, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, Hezekiah, he did what was good and right and true. And in every work that he began in the service of the house and the Lord and the law and the commandment, it says that he prospered. Psalm 1:1-3 even says this as well. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, finish it with me, shall prosper. You see, we believe this to be true because the living word of God, which convicted you and I of our unrighteousness, That same word directed us to a loving Father who forgives, who sent his Son to die for us. And this did not come by chance, but this came through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And it is God's word that will change you and I. It is God's word that will lead you and I. When dark places, we will learn to praise and worship our God in the midst of storms. But because of his word, we'll have a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. And it is God's word that will change us. And I'm just excited because I have this list of things that might happen or occur. But if all of Hidden Treasures, as we read through the Bible, and find and make moments of discipleship during the week, before the service, after the service, and while we are applying his word and we are being changed, we will be able to accomplish a lot for the kingdom of God. Not for ourselves, but for Jesus, for the Lord. Amen.